Yes.
We're back on this glorious Tuesday afternoon on the Bones and Tub show. You're here with us.
There's a lot more people here this time.
Yeah.
We had a massive jump last month.
They love the truth.
In the downloads.
They love the truth.
Welcome first timers. Welcome back second plus timers. We love you.
They love us like moth love lamp.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't get enough of that.
Listen,
shit.
I don't care what he says. Like I said, I saw someone the other day shitting on the moth meme and like the variations on the moth meme.
Right.
And then I thought to myself, like, how jaded are you when you can't enjoy the moth meme? Like, I think if my grandma was still alive and I showed her a moth meme, she would probably giggle her ass off. And she was like 78 years old. She didn't know what a meme was.
She also wasn't a miserable human being.
No.
That's what we're dealing with when people are shitting on funny stuff.
On fucking
regular life.
Big titty things. Moth girlfriend. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, the moth meme is possibly the best meme I've seen in a while.
Somebody hit me up yesterday and they were like, I just don't get it. So then until they literally walked away, I just kept giving them examples. You know what I mean?
Like, what's not to get? Moths love, like, it's like I told you. I was like, the beauty of memes is you take something completely innocuous that everybody has seen.
Yeah.
1,000 times over.
It's,
right?
What are those called? Where it's like, fuck it, never mind.
You take this thing, you've been outside before at night, you've seen a porch light on, and you've seen moths flying around it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a stereotype, but like something like an evident truth.
Yeah.
Right? So you're taking an evident truth that we've all seen so much that we probably filter it out, and then you apply it to a regular scenario. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I told him, I was like, just remember the first time you ever saw a naked pair of titties? He's like, yeah. I was like, well, picture it this way. You're like rummaging through the garage, and you find your dad's briefcase, and you open it up, and there's a magazine in there, and you open the magazine, and then basically, your head turns into a moth head.
Yeah.
And then everything on that pornographic magazine is just a picture of lamps.
Yeah.
Get it? He's like, I get it. I got it.
Like, they love the lamp.
Yeah.
They love lamp.
So simple.
They love lamp.
It's beautiful. Okay. Beautiful truths.
Yes. But I wanted to talk about the moth meme today just because I loved it so much. It's so premium.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Deathly Hallows of the loop. The loop, the lamp.
It fit me in a loop, brother.
And the treat.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him, brother. But
I just wanted to tell everybody who's new, because they don't know yet.
Yeah.
But we love hopping around.
Oh, God.
We're like House of Pain.
Yeah.
You know, just jumping around.
You know what the crazy part is? Our real-life conversations aren't too far from the podcast.
No.
It might be geared in a certain direction, like what we're supposed to be talking about, but like, anybody who's listened and seen us in person and seen how we converse with each other.
And then she shat on a turtle.
Yeah.
Just ran.
They like, and the thing is, like, a lot of times people listening will like sit there and listen, and like they might laugh occasionally at something we say to each other.
Yeah.
But then our absurdity gets to the extreme, so intense that they can't handle it anymore. And
too many G's.
Then they uncomfortably laugh.
Yeah.
Ha!
I'm always pleasantly surprised because our month-to-month downloads are just...
That's thanks to listeners like you out there.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Keep sharing.
Keep sharing it.
Tell your friends. Tell your enemies.
Share it like a sweet, dank moth meme.
Yeah. Give it to your dad, because your dad might not know anything about anything, and you might not like your dad. And if you give it to him, maybe his head will explode.
Exactly.
Maybe he won't be such an unconscionable asshole after he finds out some of these things.
Yeah.
You know.
So, today, we're going to be talking about Saturn. Now, I'm not going to talk about why we're talking about Saturn.
I'll just give a basic reason why.
Try to be mysterious about it. I want them to like be cooked and be like, why are they talking about Saturn?
Well, it all started in the Factory of Sadness, as most things do. Mm-hmm. This actually goes a lot farther back than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
when I was in college, before I dropped out,
yeah,
the only thing I did for an entire semester was this project in English class. Mm-hmm. And we could do it on anything we wanted. And I did it on corporate logos that are Freemasonic symbols. But I didn't know what I was really doing was corporate symbols that are actually Saturnian symbols.
Yeah. Let me ask you, not to get too personal, did you get a good grade on this?
I don't remember. Research paper? I think so. I think it was an A.
That's good.
It was a slideshow.
Nice.
Followed by a paper. But I had all these people, and that was back in like 2006. It was a while ago.
Yeah. Hey, I have to warn the audience before we really get started today, just to give you a heads up. If it sounds like my sinus cavities are completely swollen.
It's because they are.
It's because they are.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit sick right now. I'm trying to pump through this, you know. I got medicine in my body's.
X go and give it to you.
Yeah.
That type of medicine.
Yeah. So I should be good. But just to forewarn you, I know because some people have complained about the sound of my voice before.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck them.
The Macedonian complained about my nasally voice sometimes.
Somebody complained about the Macedonian the other day.
Oh, did they?
Yesterday, matter of fact.
Except for the doctor. I say even that and like toe beans, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I get it, you know. We are the lamp, mm-hmm. and they are the moth.
Yeah.
The lamp brings in some other object that they enjoy. Because no one ever talks about what the lamp likes.
Yeah.
You know? And then they're like, moth's like, I don't like rock. I like lamp.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. We're here to show you all the random objects and talk about things and memes.
Now,
just real quick, I was wandering around the Factory of Sadness, as I'm known to do. I stumble into a conversation because I have a route that I go, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I start talking to El Presidente.
Mm-hmm.
El Presidente.
El Presidente.
And somehow one of our subjects got onto Saturn. And he's like, I ever send you that David Icke? Saturn's not what you think it is video? And I was like, no, I don't think so. So then he either did it that night or the next day, and I just watched it, like, I was going to bed. It fucked me up for about 8 days, and that's why this show, because if I don't talk about it on the show, I'm gonna go fucking crazy.
Like, it makes me wonder about El Presidente, considering, like, he goes around with that kind of information in his head.
He's super woke, he just doesn't, and I'm not sure if he knows how woke he is.
And puts on the facade of, like, just completely calm collectedness. I guess that's why he's El Presidente in the first place.
I bet you think he, like, what do you think his coping is? You think
I don't even know. It could be a lot of things. Probably drinking beer is one of them.
Beers. Tasty beers.
Because, like, you gotta...
Man, if it wasn't for being able to go home and put salt in my eye, I'd probably go crazy.
Because, like, after watching those videos, I...
Oh, my God.
I had a hard time, man. Like, I had, a few days of just, like, people come talk to me about, like, you know... All this shit that goes on, current politics, current events and shit. And I'm just like, yeah, that's really interesting.
You're not even listening to him.
Yeah.
You're just thinking about Saturn.
Because at this point, the shit's like a TV show that I'm really not interested in anymore. Yeah. It's like people come, it's like someone coming to talk to me about The Walking Dead. And I'm just like, oh, that's cool. I stopped watching that like 3 seasons ago.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
So before we get all the way into it,
yeah,
I was just talking to... I was talking to the plumber in the Factory of Sadness. I don't even remember what the first topic was. Oh, he was talking about your mentioning that you can't really have a Thin Blue Line sticker and a Gadsden flag.
Because they're contradictory to them, to right, themselves.
Contradictory symbols. So I was like, yeah, well, I mean, I get it, you know. I was the same way for a while. Everybody wakes up to these things slowly. I was like, for instance, I was just pulled into some mind control bullshit. Not too long ago with this Kavanaugh thing.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? And I was like, we're all kind of, you know, cheering this dude on to get appointed and talking about how great of a dude he is or whatever in defense of the obvious lies from the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
But this is the motherfucker that had a direct hand in the authorship of the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
And we're talking
fuck
about
him.
Somebody who's supposed to be... So he wrote this document that... violates our Fourth Amendment rights, our couple other amendments.
Basically just our rights.
Yeah, our rights in general, because yeah, it eliminates, and it does make sense. Like, people have been like, this dude is talking, and people are preaching and saying, like, where's his due process and all these accusations? And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was like, he authored a document that's so like damning to the natural rights of human beings that like due process is completely eliminated.
What about the due process for that 17-year-old kid we talked about in a previous show that got you know, he was a homeschool kid and somebody hacked his IP and called in a bomb threat over Skype, and I wonder if he gave a shit about that kid's due process when he stole him away from his parents and wouldn't allow him to see him or talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
Where's the due process there?
Exactly.
Eat a dick. Fuck Kavanaugh. But we're back.
Yeah, we're back. Sorry about that glitch, folks. You know.
Phone calls
and domestic problems, you know.
Yeah. Recording a podcast during real life.
Yes. Ooh. So, now that we're done shitting on Kavanaugh, because fuck him.
Yeah.
Let's get to the topic of the day.
Oh, man. So, I would just direct everyone's attention to the David Icke video. Now, I used to believe that David Icke was a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering now if it's either me going insane, which is, it's possible.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like once you hit a certain level of woke, other things, it's kind of like music, you know?
Yeah.
Like you hear a song once, you're like, I fucking hate that song.
Yeah.
And then maybe 6 months, a year later, you're like, I love that song.
Yeah.
So anyway, I listened to the song of David Icke where he was talking about the Saturns.
Yeah.
What it really is and what it symbolizes.
Yeah.
But anyway, check out his video, see what you think, because we're just going to do what we always do. We're going to talk about some random Saturn stuff. We're going to plant some seeds in your mental garden and
hopefully they grow.
Hopefully create a, you know, similar 8-day fuckfest in your head.
Yeah.
And then you can get back to us. But, you know, when you think of Saturn being the planet, gigantic in size, with rings.
Yeah.
At some point, either it was illuminated, because doesn't it have all the precursors of a sun?
Yes.
Giant gas. I remember reading an article before where they were talking about launching a fucking nuke at it to ignite it. I don't know why. That's what we do here on planet Earth. We think about throwing nukes at shit. Anyway, a lot of these old civilizations, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, and all this, every single one of them has some type of sun worship to it. Right?
Yeah.
And it's not the sun that we see that they were talking about, because the symbols are completely different. You think of the original occult symbol of the sun is Target, you know, the store. You with me?
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
The Target symbol, where it's just a dot surrounded by a circle. And this same exact symbol shows up not only in our Targets around the country or the world, but it shows up in every old religion, most current religions, secret societies.
Zachariah Sitchin, Saturn actually ties into some of his talks about Nibiru and stuff like that, and Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Babylonian text, Saturn is referred to as ghost of the sun.
Yeah. Now, there's a number of ways we're going to hop around this topic, but, I mean, the Saturnian worship that is still present in today's society is mind-blowing, for the fact that, like I was talking earlier about that, what I thought was Freemasonic symbols and corporations, when it's actually Saturnian symbols.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write a whole lot of corporate entities down, but we have Harley Davidson. Their symbol is a Saturn symbol. Bentley, Chrysler, Chevy. And then you go to the Rosicrucian Order, the Morgan Group, the Catholic Church, and the way he wears his adornments.
Yeah.
Saturn worship. English royalty, the crown itself, is a symbol to Saturn. The English House of Parliament. The House of Malta, which I think that's a show in itself. I don't know if we talked about them before.
No.
They're like a massive secret society still operating today. And the symbol, if you want to see it, is you can either type in House of Malta or the Maltese cross. The Celtic cross is a symbol for Saturn. The sign of Islam is a symbol to Saturn. It's a star.
Star with a...
the encapsulation. So you have like the original Saturn / sun worship symbol, which is a fully encapsulated circle with a dot in the middle.
Now...
I drew it up here. You have like a titty.
Yeah.
And then you have like the saggy titty.
Yeah.
Which is a half line or a U with a dot in the middle. And then you have the star in the symbol with it around the circle, or similar saggy titty U with a star in the middle.
Copy.
So these symbols are fucking everywhere. If you go to Google Images and type in Saturn symbols in society, Saturn worship, the Brotherhood of Saturn, any of those things, you'll be like, what the fuck? It's all around me.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in my reading, I found that another symbol for Saturn is actually the cube.
Yes, the cube.
The black cube, to be specific.
Right.
And you'll find in certain important buildings all over the world, gigantic black cube art.
Mm-hmm.
And for the pilgrimage to Hot Mecca, they actually encirculate.
Yeah, that's what I fucked up last time.
Yeah, a black cube.
On the last show,
yeah. And they go in spiral patterns around said black cube.
Form a circle around the cube and, yeah.
Make circles around it.
So they don't even know what they're doing.
Yes.
This is a deep six fucking Saturn cult that has pervaded every part of our society.
Now, I'm going to take this back for a minute. Let's Tarantino this shit.
Yeah.
Saturn.
That's what we do.
What is Saturn like in outside of just the planet Saturn with its rings? What is Saturn mean? It's a Roman god.
Yeah.
Right.
It was Kronos. Is that?
Well, that's the Greek equivalent, right? Okay, which yeah. The Romans kind of just borrowed everything, right?
Yeah.
But Saturnalia was the festival that they celebrated in Rome for Saturn, and mm-hmm. it was around the winter solstice.
Yeah.
And
that's roughly December 25th, right?
Give or take, yeah.
So that's why we worship the birth of Christ in the middle of the winter when the Bible itself doesn't mention December 25th whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because Christianity has been taken over by Saturn cult.
Well, it was, and here's the crazy part is that even like a lot of the traditions and stuff that are wrapped around Christmas originated with the Romans and things that they did during that time, like gift giving and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
Was met as like, it was like a big festival. You use the winter solstice. It was the festival of Saturnalia, all that shit, right? So Saturn, Greek god, Roman god, right?
Yeah.
Greek equivalent of Kronos.
Mm-hmm.
Kronos, the god of
time.
Well, the others have known him as Father Time before, but he has a lot of different.
There was also some other symbolism before or around the same time that they gave it to Kronos as a symbol, but just Saturn being depicted as a bearded old man. And with the December 25th, the worship, what was it called? Where they worship Saturn?
Saturnalia. It's like the festival was called Saturnalia.
So that's okay. So Saturnalia, the symbol, was an old bearded man giving life. It was like giving time to a young.
Yeah. He was a god of generation.
Yeah.
Disillusion, plenty, wealth, agriculture, periodic renewal, and liberation.
Yeah.
Now, the liberation one makes me think of, like, if you think of the terms of, like, liberation and stuff like that, or, you know, liberating people, giving them knowledge and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Another name comes to mind. And
the light bringer?
Yeah, which ties into the notion that the whole notion of
Saturnism is Satanism.
Saturnism is Satanism.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's just with different it's the same thing, just with different names.
Yeah, it touches on the Christian perspective of Satanism, but it also touches on like the modern day Satanism, which is the, the worship of Baphomet. I'm sure we've all seen those stories of Satanic Church putting up a Baphomet statue somewhere. Well, let's see if I'll find it here. So we've already talked about the flying disc, but the symbol where I mentioned, which is like a saggy titty, right, with the dot in the middle or the star in the middle and then the U around it, that symbolized all the way back to the Egyptians. They'd had pictures of like a human being or some type of a humanoid.
I've seen that before.
With their arms above their head in a U shape, and on top of their head is a star or a circle. The disc.
That, or I've seen Egyptian headdresses with the U
yeah.
on the top of it with a star in the center.
My favorite one from Egypt, and this is a Tarantino, but I'm getting back to where I was going,
mm-hmm.
is a bird. And the bird's wings are about stretched in flight.
Yeah.
Over its head somewhat, and on top of it is the circle, the disc. Yeah. So it's a Saturnian symbol. And that Egyptian symbol finds itself as the symbol of our nation.
Ha.
The eagle with its wings up,
yeah.
stretched over its head, and above it is a circle
with
stars inside it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just modern-day Egyptian Saturn worship for you on the back of the dollar bill or what have you. Saturn's also, through astrology, connected with the sign of Capricorn.
Yeah.
Which is the goat, you know?
Huh.
So then I wrote down a quote from the David Icke video that's attributed to Manly P. Hall in his book Secret Teachings of All Ages, where he talked about the hybrid god Pan.
Yeah.
Back to the symbolism the horn ties in with astrology. Horns, goats,
yeah,
humans, horns, you know, that whole thing. Well, Pan, if everybody wants to Google image search it if they don't know, is the upper body torso of a man with horns on top of a goat's feet. And Manly P. Hall says, Pan was a composite creature, the upper part, with the exception of the horns, being human, and the lower part the form of the goat. The god himself being a symbol to Saturn, because there, this planet is enthroned in Capricorn, whose emblem is a goat, Manly P. Hall. Well, that ties into the whole Saturnism is Satanism thing, because Baphomet, the horn yeah. god.
And if you look at...
The upper part is a human, the bottom part is a goat.
If you look at configurations of Baphomet, Saturnian symbolism and the whole of it.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Whether it be the star, the encirculation, the U. It's all there, right?
Yeah, right.
Now...
A few more symbols and then I'll shut the fuck up.
Okay.
You can find these symbols. Let's see. Air Force Special Operations Command Patch. The English House of Windsor. The United Nations symbol with the Earth in the target is a Saturnian symbol. Same, you know, circle inside of wings. The Freemasonic symbol, the G or the I, circle in the middle with the compass and square around it, form the Saturn symbol. The Eastern Star, the female versions of Freemasonry, is a Saturn symbol. Star of Ishtar, Saturn symbol.
Which we've talked about Ishtar before.
Yeah. English House of Parliament, the Church, Pope. Cross, crown. I believe that's everything I've got symbolism-wise.
I think the next thing I want to talk about is things that isn't just like it's not like people have pieced it together, but it's just bits and pieces throughout history, right?
Yeah.
The next thing I think I wanted to talk about was the mega hex of Saturn.
Now,
that's not like some shit like that's speculation. That's truth.
It's there. Go with it. I'll let you go with it.
Okay, so the first satellite to be sent to get detailed pictures of Saturn, right? Voyager.
Yeah.
Takes grainy fucking photographs, right? And they have to kind of just like piecemeal them together because it can't take a full detailed photograph. It has to take little bits and pieces, right?
Yeah.
So they start putting these bits and pieces together, and on the North Pole of Saturn, there is a hexagon.
Yeah.
Like a large hexagon, right?
Right.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of people at the time were like, well, this might just be a malfunction of the satellite or something like that. It might be a trick of light or what have you. Because this hexagon isn't like small by any means. It's the surface area of it actually could fit four Earths within it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So the first one kind of gets like, you know, it could just be a trick of light. Yeah, face of Mars kind of shit, right?
Yeah.
So, the next satellite to go by, the Cassini, takes more pictures.
Yeah.
And takes the exact same photographs
right.
of the hexagon of Mars. The mega hex, as it's been called.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't the hexagon a form of symbolism to denote the cube also?
I thought that was the octagon.
Okay.
Simply, it's the hypercube because it's two squares
inverted,
right? But so the question is one, nature doesn't create straight lines.
No,
you know
what about cymatics?
Cymatics.
That's the sound science.
Oh yeah. I figured we'd get into that too. Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's nature though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sound making the shape with the straight lines.
Yeah, but that's like sound frequencies are different. Like even sound frequencies could create straight lines, but like but that goes into another thing though. That's by theory, Saturn is a gas giant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nature doesn't create straight lines that are visible to the human eye.
Right.
That's okay. I think the notion I was getting at.
Yeah.
Was that like something as perfectly geometric, and mind you, it's a perfect hexagon.
Yeah.
You could go look up the photo yourself.
And have your mind blown.
Okay. But like you said, well, you know, nature doesn't make straight lines per se, but sound does.
Yeah.
Make straight lines.
That'd be another good break for the listeners out there to go check out Cymatics on YouTube. They've got some pretty crazy pictures where it's like a glass pane that they put on top of a speaker or a subwoofer, and then they play a tone or a sound and then pour sand on top of the glass pane and it makes a shape.
Yeah.
Well, I'll also insert the sound right now of Saturn. It's in this David Icke video.
Yeah.
And this is a sound that they recorded in space from Saturn. We both listened to this. He went into like a mini seizure.
Yeah, if you want to, if you're driving, I advise, because I like had like some sort of weird phenomenon happen when I listened to it the first time, and it fucked me up. If you're driving, I would suggest pulling over for a moment. I don't want anybody to get hurt.
Also, take the laces out of your shoes. It just seems safe.
Yeah.
So here's that sound recorded from Saturn in space.
When the Cassini spacecraft arrived at Saturn in 2004, found many things that was unexplainable. You know, things like the hexagon North Pole storm and stuff like that. But they also found extraordinarily powerful sound coming from Saturn. This is part of what they recorded. Nice, man.
So now that you got done vomiting whatever you had for lunch, that's cymatics. Well, if you play that sound through the like cymatics process, it makes a hexagon. So the sound that's coming from Saturn is making the shape on the North Pole. And some are saying that the rings of Saturn are created by this sound. Because this hexagon, as they record and listen to the sound, it changes ever so slightly, right?
Yeah.
But the sound and the position of the hexagon changed at the same rate.
Yeah.
And back to that Voyager mission, was it?
Yeah.
It's titled The Ringmakers of Saturn. It's written by Dr. Norman R. Berggren, and he's a NASA scientist. And he saw in those pictures from Voyager that were taken of Saturn these massive cigar-shaped things that were looked like they were adding to or taking from the rings.
Yeah.
Hence the title, The Ringmakers of Saturn.
So the notion being, the rings aren't natural.
No.
The rings were, they're either an emanation of the sound itself, whatever it's creating. Now, that sound that you guys heard, some people have gone through and tried to piecemeal because they feel like they heard a message in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I heard it, I don't know, I think it's one of those things, everybody hears something different, right?
Yeah.
It sounded like laughing to me. All I heard was laughing in my head.
That's heavy.
Yeah. But one interpretation was that people got us, like there's some sort of signal being pulsed to us from it, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things people interpret as was, you people are urged to drop the earthly impulse.
Hmm. So is it time, do you think, for me to get into that, like the Bones conspiracy?
Yes, I think so.
That's fucked with my head about it?
Yeah, yeah.
So this all came about from a video, like I said, that was sent by El Presidente, and it touched on so many things that I had filed away in my mind. Now, I could be completely fucking just off here, but it ties in with the simulation theory, and a lot of these people believe that Saturn, whatever sound is coming out of Saturn, is responsible for either the massive apathy or the prison itself of the Matrix, right? If this was a Matrix.
Yeah.
Okay. It goes back even as far as the Gnostics with their like talking of the Demiurge.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they basically are of the belief that if you compare it to the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? So I have the belief that the Old Testament God and the New Testament God are two separate people.
Yeah.
Or entities. Because, you know, trial you might to tell me that they're the same, but there ain't no fucking way. Yeah. You've got this creature in the Old Testament that's walking around the Garden of Eden. You know, he's angry, he's jealous. He's all these things.
That's piecemeal, like destroying civilizations. And
he's all about man's ignorance. He doesn't want Adam and Eve to know about anything. He wants them to just stay ignorant in the garden.
Yeah.
Enter the snake, you know, and he gives knowledge, and then they're cast out of the garden. Yeah. But anyway, the Gnostics believe that this entity in the Old Testament, referred to as Elohim, which is another Saturnian little head nod.
Yeah.
El actually stands for Saturn.
Yeah.
And anyway, Elohim, being the Demiurge, let's say that the universe is created by the All.
Yeah.
The ever-present, omniscient, omni-knowing.
We are its, as the Kybalion says, we are its thought.
Yeah. So this All creates everything. And this Demiurge comes along and he's like, I am God. I will be the God. I am the greatest being. So he can't create a universe of his own. He just kind of puts a mirror up in front of another mirror, and creates our galaxy.
Yeah.
Inside of everything. And it's an illusion. It's a bastardization of the actual universe.
Yeah.
And the Gnostics believe that, you know, that's where that jealousy comes from. He hated the fact that we existed because we have the divine spark of the all within each of us, you know. Yeah. We are made in his image, yeah, as the book says. And so rather than sit jealously in the corner and can't not having divine creation or anything like that inside him, he just puts us in a prison.
Yeah.
And the Gnostic death trap goes on to talk about how, like, when everybody dies, no matter what country you're in, what religion you're from, what time period you're in, everybody had the story of the light. And when you see the light, you see whoever you trusted the most or loved the most in your life, and they're urging you to come to the light, ushering you into the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a trick from the demiurge to get you to go into it, take out all the experiences and all the emotions that you've collected through a lifetime, and use it as energy somehow. Suck that out of us, wipe us clean, and throw us back into the machine.
Yeah.
Back into this illusion. And these people that are talking about Saturn being the key to the Matrix, they also talk about the moon, which we've talked about I don't even know how many times.
Yeah.
Like Crow 777, go look up that video of the lunar wave, and that'll show you this is something else.
Yeah.
Other than what we're... This isn't real.
Yeah.
Basically. Because the lunar wave shouldn't exist in a real universe.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it set me down this rabbit hole, thinking of the Gnostics, thinking of all this shit. And then it opened a question in my mind that I'd had from before, like we talked about in previous episodes, these Saturn worshippers or these Satanists. How can you live a finite life, an entire life dedicated to hurting other people, you know, drinking their blood, doing all this crazy satanic shit? You've only got one chance on this rock, right? Why would you do that to your fellow beings?
Yeah.
And then it led me, like, down this other crazy rabbit hole thinking of the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
What if these people at the top of the pyramid, proverbially speaking, are like ciphers from the Matrix? They know the secret. They know this is an illusion. They know it's eternal, as long as we don't get out of it. And they have made a deal with these entities to be placed back at rebirth into the same families.
Over and over again. To keep them at the top.
As long as they continue the cycle.
It would make sense. That whole theory would make sense with the sense of how they've been able to control us for millennium. You know, yeah, what I mean? Because right, that makes more sense, because, like, if it's literally the same people who have the knowledge already being reborn again,
mm-hmm,
into a new form, then they're not, then they already know. They don't have to convince the next generation that what they're doing is right. Because you would figure that somewhere along the way, with the way things are, if it was just happenstance that people were born into these families, somebody, it would have clicked in their brain like, no, this is wrong.
Yeah, what the fuck? What am I doing?
Exactly. But if it's just the same people reemerging over and over and over again,
yeah,
then they don't have to convince anybody of nothing.
Now, if you look into the Gnostic death trap, you'll find any number of theories that the moon was placed here as some type of a technological thing because it's artificial. If you look at the lunar wave video, tell me how it's not.
Yeah.
You know, but that the moon has something to do with this death trap. And I've heard people talk before about, like, going into the light. I think we talked about the creator of the show, Ground Zero, Clyde Lewis.
Yeah.
He had cancer real bad for a while, and he was undergoing treatment and was beating the cancer back. Well, during this time of recovery, he'd gotten fat, like just unhealthy, and he's talking about waking up one day, he lived with his buddy, and he's like, man, I don't feel good. And he's like, oh, that sucks, you know, what are you gonna do about it? He's like, well, I guess I'll go get a shower, maybe I'll feel better. And he said he got out of the shower and he felt a million times worse. He sat down on the couch and he's like, I think I'm dying. His buddy's like, he looks back and he's dead.
Huh.
And he said from his perspective, he just laid back on the couch and everything went still. Time didn't exist anymore. This light started right in front of his nose.
Yeah.
And it just got bigger and bigger. Everything else disappeared except the light. And in the light, he saw his family, his grandma, his mom, his dad, and all that. And they were trying to bring him into the light. And he remembered the story of the Gnostic death trap. And he was like, no,
yeah,
I will not. And he said as soon as he denied the light, he felt this pure hate and rage feeling, and then everything went black, and then he woke up in the hospital and his doctor's just staring at him. He's like, man, have you ever heard of a pulmonary embolism? And he's like, no. He's like, picture pencil lead, and that's an embolism.
Yeah.
Breaking free of an artery or a vein and shooting through one of your arteries. I've seen like maybe 5% of people survive pulmonary embolism. You had 5 pulmonary embolisms.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you should be alive. But so he denied the death trap.
Yeah.
He said no to the light, but he came back to life. So
we don't know really what happens. We have to assume that somebody has denied it, you know, and been something else has happened. They can't send you back every time.
No, but I mean, that's coming back with your memories and your present incarnation, right?
Yeah.
Instead of being sucked into this thing, you know, bled dry of all your energy and thrown back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's crazy. I know that.
But
especially that Jay Parker shit. If you guys look up Jay Parker, he's done a number of interviews. He was raised in a satanic Illuminati family and subject to satanic ritual abuse since he was a babe. And he talked about when he was a teenager, right before he broke free of the mind, or started the process of breaking free from the Monarch mind control, they had abducted a teenage girl from the West Coast, drugged her, thrown her in a trunk, and brought her over to the East Coast, wherever he was. And he was forced to do all types of crazy satanic shit to her. And at the end of the ritual, he was supposed to slit her throat. And he's like, nah, fuck that, I'm not doing that. So then they did it. And he was just completely fucked up from it. And they were like, why do you care what we've done to her body? We did nothing to hurt her. She's just been thrown back into the game.
Yeah.
And these are all upper echelon people speaking in these terms.
Huh.
It's like they know.
Yeah.
And that's what caused me to think of Cypress from the Matrix.
So, that being said, I did hear stuff that David Icke talked about when comes to the rings and how the Saturn was once our sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that the rings are the physical embodiment of the hack.
That
Saturn was hacked.
The control system.
Yeah, that the proverbial control system that was put in place to help control us is now Saturn.
Yeah.
What used to be something good for us is now something bad.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind.
I know some people talked about like the idea of what would happen if we destroyed the rings. But it's so fucking crazy that if you look into it more from people who know what they're talking about, not just us, you know, in our studio, shooting the shit like a shotgun blast.
Yeah.
But if you look at all the symbols in our daily life dedicated to Saturn, like we all worship Saturn unknowingly on December 25th.
Yeah.
You got me. But wedding rings are a symbol of Saturn.
Hmm.
Wearing a wedding ring. I mean, that's how deep it goes.
Yeah.
It's in everything. These Saturnists, these Satanists.
Just embodied all. They just
everything. Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
Fuck me.
It's crazy.
It's so pervasive.
Yeah.
One of these videos talking about the Saturn moon matrix conspiracy theory starts with a clip from the Matrix where they're explaining, like, the Matrix is everywhere you look. You see it when you look out your window. It's in this very room. You see it when you pay your taxes.
But yeah.
I don't know what it all means, you know?
No.
It's kind of like last week's episode where we ended it on a note of, like, what the fuck do you do about it?
Yeah. What do you do about it?
Anybody that is out there, and I'm not knocking anybody for any viewpoint. You know, you can have your any belief you want. I'm not going to chastise you for it.
Yeah.
As long as you don't hurt me or mine or someone else.
Yeah.
But how you can exist in this universe and not believe that we came from something else blows my mind.
That you're pointing this towards, like, material atheists, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, look at the, you know, they always say, give us one miracle and we'll explain the rest. But really, no. Like, just the Big Bang doesn't do it. Look at the Fibonacci sequence.
Yeah.
It's a code.
Well, like I said, the laws, the natural laws, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In and of itself should be.
Who wrote the laws? Why are they in place?
Exactly. That's the thing. Like,
who made this Fibonacci sequence?
If you're a true material atheist, you would come to the conclusion that life is just chaos. Right? That's their logic. That's always been their logic, is that it's just all chaos. Like, there's no such thing as, like...
Laws don't exist in chaos.
Exactly. That, like, you can't repeat the same thing twice.
Right.
The same science experiment could never be replicated twice if chaos was true.
The Fibonacci sequence or the golden ratio shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Google that shit.
And so those out there that would say, well, a science experiment can be there has been instances where a scientific experiment has not been replicated twice with the same exact circumstances. Well, I would point to you that you merely have not observed, not necessarily hidden variables, but the multitude of variables. And variables are just other laws.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that, like, I've boiled it down, at least in my own mind, to this, the idea of an illusion or a matrix
type
of thing. But that even in itself could be just proof of itself of the all, or the Kybalion's truth, right?
Yeah.
Like the idea, like the, what was the experiment that they did where they monitored the behavior of electrons, and it was directly related to intention.
Yeah.
So like they shot these electrons in an area where they were supposed to go, and they recorded them going where they were supposed to go. Well, then they recorded them with the machine running when no one was watching it. They were out of the room, and they were fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
They're like, what the fuck? So then they do it again, and they went where they were supposed to go. And then they started, like, well, this has everything to do with what we're intending.
Well, this falls into the stuff involved in our ability to Sorry, I'm sick. Our ability to perceive, like, what we can see and with our senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the notion that beyond just what we can see and do with the tools we've been given,
yeah,
is dwarfed in comparison to what really is.
David Icke said it best in his beautiful English accent. He's like, if you look at just your field of vision with your eyes, you see, science has proven that you see 0.005 of the percentage of visible light spectrum.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You see 0.005% of all available light, and yet you got it figured out.
Yeah, and even think about all the other senses. Think about smell, for example.
Yeah.
There's dogs who can smell cancer.
Yeah. Smell is also 99% taste, so when you smell poop, think about that.
Yeah. Hearing.
Yeah.
You know, the frequencies that Saturn are putting off technically can't be heard with the human ear.
Mm-hmm.
We have to
change instruments.
We have to use instruments in order to put them into a frequency that we can actually register, right?
Yeah.
Think of all the unknown, unseen things that go pass by you every day.
Yeah.
Things so innocuous, you wouldn't even, like, things so minuscule and microscopic, you would never even know it happened in the first place. I think about a passage in The Watchmen, the graphic novel series, where, like, Dr. Manhattan, who can control all matter, is postulating the notion that there are, in fact, miracles.
Yeah.
Because the notion is that the fact that he was talking to his female companion, the fact that you're here is a miracle in and of itself. He's like, it's a passing, fleeting moment that most people won't even notice, like air turning into oxygen. I fucked that up. Wow, I was getting onto some really good shit. He said, like, oxygen turning into gold.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Right.
You would never see it, though, and you would never be able to understand what you just saw.
Alchemy. You know?
It's, and that's why I like, when we talk about this Saturn stuff, like, the notion that, like, and I was talking to him about the other day, actually, the notion that, like, if you think of, like, spells, like, if you look at, like, the Lesser Keys of Solomon and stuff like that, think of them less like some sort of highfalutin woo-woo magic spell, and think of it more like a hack.
Yeah.
Like, that this isn't, like, here's the thing, there is no reality in and of itself.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's this, which is our perceived reality, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is that it's hackable. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, even for you naysayers out there, if you break down to break us down to our base elements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Down to our genetic code. What is our genetic code but four letters repeated?
Yeah.
Code or the symbols itself, at which we put on, but four different things repeated over and over again to create a code to create you and to create every other life form on this planet.
It's heavy as fuck.
You are a gigantic, walking, talking, organic... That's my dog.
Featuring dog.
Walking, talking, computer program.
Yeah.
You are Bones 1.00 operating system.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's our, you know, if you pull your phone out right now and you're listening to the Bones of Those podcast on your phone or maybe your computer and you look at our tasty podcast itself, the symbol, the Ouroboros, is a Saturnian symbol as well.
I like the Ouroboros, though.
I do, too. They all have many things that they mean, but that's one of them. I didn't know it.
I think, like I said, I think they took that back before where we talked about different symbols and how I like the owl, and I said, I don't care that some of them use it for their own purposes. I was like, I have my own meaning behind that.
Yeah.
Well, and the same thing with the Ouroboros.
I just like to point out that they do as well.
Yeah.
The owl, you know, the horned owl, the horned god.
They could take for whatever they want with it. I take for it what I take from it. And that's,
you can't use that anymore because that's ours.
Yeah.
Fuck them. Yeah.
You know what?
Eat a dick.
There was good people using symbols like that. It's the same thing with the Eye of Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Some people look at that, even amongst us conspiracy types, would look at an Eye of Providence and see only, like, the worst parts of civilization, but I don't see that when I look at the Eye of Providence now.
Right.
Oh, man. I see the knowledge and wisdom of the ages played out in front of us.
The trivium.
Yeah.
You know? The three parts of a man, thoughts, emotions, actions, all in concert.
There you go.
Use the gender principle. Hashtag the cheat code inside the Matrix.
Yeah.
That's what fucks me up too about affirmations, because I'm heavy into those affirmations.
Yeah.
You know, and whether they're affirmations that you write down and you direct yourself or ones that you just have organically, you manifest your own reality, good or bad.
Yeah.
It's in the laws. Cause and effect, law of attraction, whatever you want to call it. It shouldn't exist in a chaotic system.
Yeah.
But if you direct your will in the right way, you know?
Here's the thing.
Use that cheat code.
If you think we're talking woo-woo right now, it's the same things that a lot of self-help gurus say, just in a different way.
And we didn't charge you $35,000.
No. They say the exact same things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in a different way. You know, you look at like things like The Secret and shit like that, which I think is a... it's a half-assed attempt at the same things we're talking about.
Yeah, it's a super gross version of the cause and effect.
Yeah, it's kind of icky.
Just Google the Kybalion Project Gutenberg. Go there, read it for yourself. You get it for free. You don't have to pay nobody.
Mm-hmm. Except your internet provider.
Yeah.
Cocksuckers. Well, I tell you, here's what you do. You go down to McDonald's. Well, you bought your phone, so I guess I'm trying to think of the freest way you could go to the library, get on the computer there.
Holotropic breathing.
Yeah.
Trip out. See the all. Talk to it.
Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, man. Where are we at?
52.
That's not bad.
I think about time to wrap up, don't you think?
Yeah. I got to get, you know, everything done. Got to go and mow the yard.
Yeah.
Got to get ready. Going on vacation. You guys follow us on the Instagram. You'll see lots of tasty pictures before I disappear.
Yeah.
Into the wilderness.
I wonder what this portal in the woods is all about.
Yeah. If I see a mirror in the woods, I'm going to freak out.
Fucking run.
Yeah.
I hope you're packing.
Yeah. No shit. Packing at all times.
But,
strapped like a car seat, motherfucker.
All right, we'd like to thank y'all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the Saturn episode. I did.
Yeah.
You know, go check out David Icke if you want to learn more. He's chock full of that information.
Yeah, so much so that I'm still bleeding psychically from it.
Yeah. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Facebook. Check out our Patreon. Join the nation if you're feeling extra froggy.
We don't make you pay us for this information, but we don't stop you either.
Yeah. You know, if we get to do this full time, we'd probably do it more than just once a week.
I probably wouldn't stop doing it.
Yeah.
There'd be so much Bones and Tubs content that I don't know what you'd do.
Yeah.
You might explode.
So, we'd like to thank y'all for listening again. We hope you have a good week.
Taking the reins again.
Okay.
As I always do. Shut the fuck up! I want to hear the outgoing music! Go to our Instagram, check out the link in our bio. We've got all of the Bones and Tubs memorabilia you could ever think of.
Yeah,
get yourself available a t-shirt. On that TeePublic link. We get a very small amount of that money, so
yeah,
go there and make TeePublic some money, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you for spreading the word. Keep spreading the word.
Yeah.
Because our downloads are getting off the chain.
And that's good.
And that makes me feel good.
I like to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep that up.
But thank you all for listening. We hope you have a good week.
We love you.
We really do.